This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. It is hour number two of the Nightcap here from downtown Las Vegas, our Circus Sportsbook studios on a Friday night, back with former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl champion, Sean King. I'm Ben Wilson. Going from bad to worse, Sean, for the Oregon Ducks. 38-3. Our favorite game here, the aggregate.
What was it, 36-7?
38-7, the first meeting. We are now at, and doing the quick math in my head, 76-10.
Can they get a... two safeties, because they need four to get to the seven.
They do. I don't know. I'm not sure how the calculus would work there. All I know is if you bet the over in this game and you're watching Utah just running the ball up and down the field, you're like, can I get an Oregon score here? Come on.
Something.
This thing closed 57.5 behind us at circa 58 elsewhere, and you're at 41 with just over 10 minutes to go. I'm not sure that is getting there. You see your price on the live line. Total has been taken off the board. I'm seeing a 47.5 out here. Sean. So we'll see what happens there. But Utes rolling down the road from us at Allegiant Stadium as we bring in our guy, Jared Smith, lead betting analyst at PicksWise. Always kind enough to give us some time on a Friday night. Jared, I don't mean to bring this up right away because I know you had an outstanding number betting it early in the week, Western Kentucky. Our guy, Sean, here, he waited the last possible second, jumped in on the Roadrunners of UTSA, and it's that the old closing line value monster that got you tonight. We've all been there, but as we welcome you on, I know Sean wanted to gloat a little bit. We'll let him do that, but
give him his moments. I like to give him his moments, you know, few and far between, right? We got to get the Puckstradamus rolling a little bit later in the night. UTSA has put together an unbelievable season. They were a whisker short of, well, I don't want to say a whisker. They got blown out in that game against North Texas last week, but they almost put together an undefeated season. We will see what they do, what kind of matchup they get in the bowl games, but fascinating year, fascinating program. And anytime, you know, Sean had the right handicap tonight. Anytime that game, you know, swung, you know, to the +3 side for UTSA and the Roadrunners being at home, I should have taken a dose of my own medicine and come back on the Roadrunners. I got Western very early in the week at -1. And when it moves that much, you get scared almost. You're almost like, you know, because then it's such a letdown if you don't win because you made such a good bet. And it feels even worse. Yep. Like, I would have rather the line moved against Western, and then they got in and they lost. But, you know, the CLV trophies, unfortunately, don't pad the bankrolls in any way. But it was a good pick by Sean. Good read by him.
I mean, Sean's a guy who had, you know, Michigan State money line in our bankroll plays a couple weeks ago against Ohio State.
And they,
Jared, it's not like we're all batting 1,000.
Yeah, that didn't work out well.
No.
But it's your chance. You know, you can.
But again, I factored into this. And listen, Western Kentucky, the most impressive win of that conference to me was them going to Marshall and winning at Marshall. Very tough place to play game. They fell behind, kept their composure. So I understood why people liked Western. I just looked at it, okay, UTSA has already proven at Western that they can beat them in a shootout. Now they get the benefit of having a home game. This is a program that really thinks they're one of the up-and-coming programs in America, so I knew they would come out and support it, would create a hostile environment, give extra energy to UTSA, and, you know, it worked out. You know, I think the two stops they got in the second quarter that allowed them to get some separation were huge. But it's just something to remember when you get to these championship games, you know, knowing who plays neutral and, you know, who actually has to go on the road to the opposing team's home state. And that's why I like Cincinnati so much tomorrow. And I know we're going to get right into that game now, Jared. So you have a strong feeling about Cincinnati-Houston?
Yeah, and I'm with you. So that was one of my looks there. Because Houston, you know, warm weather team coming north now to Nippert, so it's not going to be an easy game for them. And you do mention the home field advantage. And also, it is kind of odd that a team that is as, you know, good as Houston in terms of the record, in terms of their ranking, how they've looked at times this year, is catching double digits in a game like this. So I think that is why we've seen, I know you guys have talked about it this week. I think you had Chris Andrews on earlier in the week talking about the handle coming in on Houston here. And I would be wary because we have not seen it really dip beneath 10. I am seeing some 10s out there. It's kind of hovered between 10.5. I did see it touch 11 very briefly, but it did not wait long there because, you know, the money's coming in on Houston here. So line analysis definitely says Cincinnati, I would say, is the sharper side. And I think they've put it together the last couple weeks. You know, they look really good against SMU. That was a potential letdown against ECU. They overcame those hurdles. And they put, you know, because I was critical of them earlier in the season, especially during that USF run where they kind of struggled a little bit. But I think they've really turned it on late. They figured it out. And I do think the line's telling you that they'll get past Houston tomorrow pretty handily.
And another piece of information just to add is I got very concerned when Houston's head coach, Dana Holgorsen, came out early in the week talking about how unfair it is that the conference championship game isn't at a neutral site and they had to go on the road. I just think when your players hear that, you know, they can kind of like,
an excuse.
Does coach really believe in us? And, you know, this is a game where I think Houston has to play their best game of the season. And well, even if they do, I still think Cincy wins. But Cincy has been waiting for this opportunity the entire season. You know, have to remember what's at stake. The first non-Power 5 team to ever make it into the college football playoff. So, you know, Luke Fickell was able to walk into that team meeting room during the week and say, I'm not going anywhere. You know, because Marcus Freeman has been named the head coach at Notre Dame, and he'd always said there were two jobs that he might leave for, Notre Dame, Ohio State. So I just think that bonding, that confidence, playing at home, it's a tough place to play, man. I've been there with some really, really good football teams, and we've come up short. So I'm with you, Jarrett. You know, I like Cincy to cover, and I think they're going to win pretty comfortably, to be honest.
Yeah. I like that angle, too, with the head coach. I agree. That will galvanize the locker room. I would imagine that they're going to be fired up for this game tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll be a raucous environment.
And you can get some 10 still, at least in the Nevada jurisdiction here. 10 at, you mentioned, Jared, Chris Andrews, our sportsbook director at the South Point. 10 at his shop. 10s at Westgate, a couple other places, Sean.
Before we move off of this game, I'm going to tell our listeners and the people watching, put a small play on Cincinnati to win the national championship. I'm just telling you, it's something when a team that has a lot of talent like Cincinnati does, but they have even more confidence. And I keep telling people this, don't forget last year in the bowl game, this Cincinnati team and this Georgia team played, and it was a 24-21 game that came down to the very end of the game, a game Cincinnati actually was dominating early. Georgia had to come back. And I just say that to say this, they will not be intimidated by Georgia. If they end up playing Georgia, they're going to feel like they can win that game. And that means a lot in football. Football is not hockey. It's not basketball. It's not baseball. It's not a best of three or a best of five where, you know, the best team can kind of lose. Like, this is a one and done. And I'm just telling you, it's worth, I think there's 16-1 right
now
to win
16.
It's worth putting a little bit on Cincy to win it all.
Only going to shorten after tomorrow, too.
Yeah, so get it in. I would say get it in before the game.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not bad. Well, speaking of Georgia, that's certainly the game everybody's going to be betting on, likely the highest handle game for tomorrow. Think about how the look ahead, Jared. It was 3 in a lot of spots last week, Georgia-Alabama, assuming that would have been the matchup. It was, even though Alabama did its best to blow that game against Auburn. They went in quadruple overtime, so the line gets reposted. Georgia -6 in most shops, quickly bet up to 6.5. Touch 7 briefly. That seemed to be the buyback point for Alabama. You think about the sticker shock, though. I mean, it's the first time in 92 games a Nick Saban-led team has not been favored. You got to go back to when Tim Tebow was starting for the Florida Gators the last time that Alabama was not favored in a neutral site game, the 09 SEC championship game. How do you handicap a spot like this where you got Alabama now at 6.5? Sticker shock aside, is this line too inflated based on the struggles we've seen of the Tide recently?
It feels like it moved a little too much. You know, I know Alabama certainly struggled in that game against Auburn, but I think for it to move basically a full 3 from what it was and even 4 from the 2 week ago look ahead line, I do think it's moved maybe a little too much. We heard +220. That's what I was hearing as kind of the line in the sand for Alabama. So if you see, you know, tomorrow morning, the handle continue to come in on Georgia, which is what we've seen. You see the Alabama money line move to about +220. That's where it looks like the line in the sand that the sharps will continue to step in on Alabama and move that line back towards, you know, back towards the Tide. So right now it looks like there's still a little upside with that. But the 6.5, I would assume it's not going to touch 7 again. And if it does, it'll be very quick. So I think this line has kind of reached the saturation point, which is why I feel comfortable stepping in on Alabama. Do I have a really strong handicap towards the Tide? No. Georgia's looked dominant this year. They deserve to be favored in this game. They should be favored in this game. But I just feel like the coaching for Alabama's been there before. And I think if I had to bet on, is this game going to be close or is Georgia going to roll? I would bet that this game is close. And I would say Alabama probably, if their coaching staff puts together a good game plan and they can keep time of possession on their side, I think they can keep this game close. I think they can even win it.
Well, I'm going to give you some ammo to not just take Alabama plus the points. Take Alabama on the money line.
Going money line?
And here's okay. why. First of all, you just want to be able to say, I told you so. First time in 92 games, Nick Saban's been an underdog. You want to have that ticket. Secondly, if you go back to the Kentucky game, it was 14-7 at the half. To me, that's the best, most complete offense that Georgia played all year. Levis was 32 of 42 for two touchdowns and zero interceptions. Bryce Young is better than Levis. The receivers at Alabama are better than receivers at Kentucky. I think this game is going to the fourth quarter. I really do, and I think it's going to come down to quarterback play, and I know Stetson has been outstanding
right.
this year for Georgia, but I've seen Bryce Young in the clutch against Auburn, LSU, make play after play. Even the Texas A&M game, they didn't lose that game because Bryce Young didn't come through in the fourth quarter. I haven't seen Georgia under pressure have to actually step up and make plays. And so I think that's the advantage to Alabama. I'm taking Alabama on the money line because I believe Bryce Young
Boom.
Plays the game of his life, secures the Heisman, and Nick Saban gets carried off the field as the ace boom coon that he is.
I love everything about it. Jared, you know when you come on the show, you know you're always going to get the best out of Sean King. We're going to keep you around, Jared, for another segment here. Talk some NFL. By the way, Georgia trailed my alma mater, Mizzou, 3-0 after a quarter.
Ooh.
That's right. I don't know what that was my one chance to mention Mizzou in the entire show. I'm not going to do it again. My alma mater is terrible at basically all sports. All right, more with Jared Smith on the other side here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back on the Nightcap here from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, back in downtown Las Vegas. The place to be on a Friday night, Circus Sportsbook Studios with Sean King. I'm Ben Wilson. We got Jared Smith, our guy. Still with us for yet another segment. By the way, give him a follow. I don't know if I mentioned this in our last segment. Follow him at Jared Lee Smith, lead betting analyst at PicksWise. We just talked some college football, Jared. Time to dive into the NFL. Week 13 as we get ready for a number of really interesting matchups. It seems like basically everybody not named the Lions, Jaguars, and Jets is still alive. I guess you could extend that to the Seahawks after Monday night as they go to 3-8 on the season. And it's such an interesting spot. They are in, Jared, hosting the 49ers, where I've heard a lot of buzz this week about, all right, no Deebo Samuel now for San Francisco. This could be a buy-low point for Seattle. At home, it's a spot where they're getting 3. I see it shaded to 3.5 in some shops. What say you on an NFC West matchup like this?
I think at 3, it's a strong play for San Francisco. For me, obviously at 3.5, it's probably not as strong of a play. Listen, the Niners have really inserted themselves back into the national spotlight. We asked a lot of bookmakers this week. I always ask them in the futures market if there's a team from outside of the top tier. Right now, it looks like there's 9 teams in that top tier, which is crazy at this stage of the year. You got the 5 teams in the NFC, then there's 4 in the AFC. Outside of that top 9, San Francisco is one that odds makers said maybe if they continue to get hot could insert themselves into that top tier of the conversation. They are playing extremely well on both sides of the ball. They are locked down in the trenches right now. I think even without Deebo Samuel, I trust Elijah Mitchell. And who I don't trust right now is Russell Wilson. 0-3 straight up and against the number since he came back. There's not I know they had that last drive against Washington that certainly looked magical. But for the most part, they really, really struggled in that game against the Washington defense that, you know, has been playing a little bit better, but is still undermanned without two of their best pieces up front. San Francisco is playing their best football of the season right now. This is a rivalry game. I know maybe you say let down after the Niners have won 3 in a row. You don't let down against Seattle, which this was the rivalry in the NFC West for a number of years, until Seattle kind of came back to the pack a little bit recently. So I think San Francisco at 3 is a pretty strong play for me.
Yeah, and I don't think you let down when you're playing catch up. And because of the injuries, San Francisco fell behind. You know, now they're healthy. I mean, you start seeing George Kittles and, you know, these guys available, and you see, like, you know, how detrimental that was to their success early in the season. And I'm not a guy that allows quarterbacks to use crutches, like make excuses. But I'm just telling you, Russell Wilson's hurt. Like, there's no way a guy that's been as good for as long as Russell Wilson has been comes back from surgery on his throwing hand, and, I mean, he can't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, their guy's open. He's sailing the ball 10 feet over his head. I give him the benefit of the doubt because of his resume.
Right.
That something is wrong with Russell Wilson. And until I see different, I think Seattle's a fade. So I'm with you.
They can't run the ball either, which, you know, it's not like take any pressure off them. I think that's the issue too. Where in years past, you know, Sean, they could run the ball a little bit. Now they really can't. So I think it's tough to back the Niners. I mean, tough to back Seattle in this spot until you see something from Russell.
And I think there's something going on internally. Like, I know Russell and Pete Carroll have not been seeing eye to eye, but something's got to be going on with DK Metcalf. I mean, his lack of targets the last 2 weeks is, like, unbelievable.
Truly it's bizarre almost, Monday night.
Yeah, it's
truly
bizarre. So, yeah. You know, when I see those kind of things, that's a team I'm going to fade, especially when they already were – you know, maybe not up to par, you know, prior to this. You know, San Francisco's hot right now. About a month ago, I started saying on this show, people get Patriots to win the AFC tickets. I'm telling you now, get San Francisco to win the division tickets if you can find them because they're getting hot. I think the Rams are toast. You know, I just think that whole experiment is about to implode right in front of a national
34
audience.
34-1 right now, Sean.
Yes.
That's what I'm seeing.
Man. Yes. I'm just telling you, put a little small play on San Francisco to win the division.
Jared, you like the Jaguars as much as our guy Sean does this week, catching 13.
Jaguars might win outright.
The funny thing about that game is, if you were going to ask me any other week, I would maybe say this is the week that Sean McVay, because I think if Sean McVay has a chance to drop 50 on anybody, you know, he will. He won't let the gas pedal up. But they've just looked so just decrepit. I mean, I don't even know what to say about the Rams over the last few weeks. Defensively has been the issue for me. And I think they're just not. Stafford looks like he's banged up, but also everyone's hurt. It's week 13 in the NFL.
Goff.
Everyone's hurt,
right? It's Jared Goff, Jared. Yeah, they traded Jared Goff and got Jared Goff back.
Yeah, I mean, and that was I would think at some point we talked about it preseason was the Rams are going to be great, but how healthy is Stafford going to be throughout a 18-week season, and is he going to be able to finish the season? Because I don't think he's finished. I think he's not finished more than he's finished over the last like 3 years. So that's the issue to me. And I'll be honest, I am very impressed with the rest of this division minus Seattle. Obviously, Arizona has looked dominant. San Francisco, as you mentioned early in the year, got hurt. Now they're playing well. So, yeah, I would put the Rams third in this division right now, and I would – it's tough to back the Jags any week, but getting 13, sure. Why not, Sean? For you, I'll sprinkle it for you.
For you, anything. Just I think you're crazy.
Just an I told you so ticket. I mean, you can
– Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can erase the amount when you tweet it out.
That's what the pros do, Sean.
When I tweet it out.
That's what the pros do. Yeah. I know you do that. But I want to get to another game. I know you have a play on here, Jared, and a strong opinion. Mention that game line 3 in San Francisco, Seattle. Another game line 3 basically at every shop. Chargers, Bengals, you talk about also teams in the wild card positioning like San Francisco in a game where basically every game down the stretch now is a must win. So fascinating to try to handicap where the Bengals are at because the last two times they have had big AFC North divisional wins, they've laid an egg the following week. They did come back, beat Jacksonville, but did not cover week 4 that Thursday night game, and then had the epic loss as large favorites on the road against the Jets, taking on a Chargers team that has been really unimpressive over the last month and a half. Standard 3-point line, though, as LA comes to Cincinnati, taking on the Bengals. Where are you looking at this game?
Well, you nailed it. You know, and the question has been, with a younger team and, you know, young head coach, young quarterback, young core, did they learn something from that 41-17 drubbing over the Ravens followed up by that loss to the Jets? Very embarrassing loss to the Jets. Ruined a lot of teasers that week, including mine. I would hope that they have, but here the key is, A, what's the weather going to be like in Cincinnati on Sunday? That's the first question I have, because we all know this time of year it can be a little dodgy in the Ohio area. But also, can the Chargers stop this Bengals running game? And that is the question that will determine this game. If Brandon Staley has some kind of plan for this, maybe this is the time to whip it out, because their defense has been absolutely gashed over the last few weeks, and they have looked really bad defensively at times. They gave up a boatload of points to the Steelers. He's supposed to be a defensive guru. This is the point for him to step up and say, this is how we're going to shut down this Bengals rushing attack, because Joe Mixon's looked great. The numbers say they can't do it. And if I'm only laying three, I feel like that's the right play. But the fact that the line hasn't really moved to 3.5, despite everyone on Cincinnati, scares me a little bit, yeah. Sure, because I think I'm on the public side here. But the numbers say the Bengals should be able to run the ball right down the Chargers' throats. And I think that's a recipe to win a game in December outdoors in Ohio.
32 degrees, 40% chance of rain is what the weather is scheduled to be. I'm all over the Chargers' money line in this game. You look at the Bengals, and all season, they win the opener against Minnesota, then they lose to Chicago. They win two games versus Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, then they lose to Green Bay. They win two games against Detroit and Baltimore, then they lose to the Jets and then the Browns. Now they've won two games again, so the season says they're about to do what? Lose to the Chargers. That's just kind of been like,
wish it was that easy, Sean. Huh? Wish it was that easy.
I'm just saying. Wish it was that easy. And listen, I don't think Zach is – I don't view him as a guy that's happy when Mixon has – what has Mixon had? 70-something carries, I think, over the last two games. Hold on. Let me pull that up right quick.
He's had a lot.
It has been a lot. Yeah. The last two games, 58.
58 carries over the last
two
games.
288 yards and four touchdowns.
But he doesn't strike me as a guy that likes winning like that. Like, you look at what they've done from a draft standpoint, from a free agency standpoint, he wants to throw the football. And I think they're going to fall back into that trap of getting away from just giving the ball to Joe Mixon, controlling time of possession, trying to just win the football game, and they're going to try and look good winning the football game. And I like the Chargers to figure out a way to get it done. Don't ask me too much about this play. Just bet the Chargers money line blindly.
We're getting Sean and Jared going heads up on this one. Before we let you go, Jared, we want to get a teaser play out of you, because that's now the thing. Everybody's got to have a teaser. That's like the new wave, new Vogue thing. What do you got this week?
So Arizona was one of my top teaser legs, but, you know, obviously I would wait to see if Murray and Hopkins play. If you do, it might be a quick move to 9 or 10. I mean, I don't really know how much of it's baked into the line or not, but it did scare me that Kingsbury came out and said that they're still questionable and, you know, game time decision. But the Colts are a really strong teaser leg this week, too. I mean, the Texans just gave up a boatload of rushing yards to the Jets, and the Colts are coming off of that really tough loss against the Bucs, so I expect them to bounce back. So Colts and Cardinals will be a teaser. Like, you don't have to throw Washington in there just in case the Cardinals quarterback thing gets messy. I think Washington getting the full 8, it'll be almost 9. They're, you know, 2.5 right now, point underdogs in Vegas. So that's a decent teaser. A few decent teaser legs for you.
I'm liking it. Jared, as always, really appreciate the time. Give him a follow again at Jared Lee Smith, lead betting analyst at PicksWise. Thanks, my
good
man.
Stuff,
take
Jerry.
Care.
See you later, guys. Good luck this weekend.
Jared giving out his plays. It's time for our bankroll plays coming up. Sean, there's some doozies on this card. We go to the bankroll plays on the other side. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This follow the money is hitting the road next week. Mitch Moss and Polly Howard will be live from the new DraftKings Sportsbook at Foxwoods Casino Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. If you're in the area, come down and meet the guys and be sure to tune in every day from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. We're back on the Nightcap with Sean King. I'm Ben Wilson filling in for Tim Murray. Where's the one place you would go if you were going on the road for a show? You had any pick, Sean? Where's your spot?
Well, I'm from Florida, so
That was like a minus 600 favorite.
Tampa, Miami. I mean,
pick your
they all
spot
sound great. Yeah,
anywhere. Yeah, well, it would depend too on how your bankroll was doing. I mean, that's why
we could do the Hard Rock or.
I like that thought. Well, we're content where we are right
my
now.
My bankroll, I've gotten emotional on some of my plays.
An emotional bankroll. Yeah. We're gonna get to your bankroll in a second. All right, let's bring up Tim again, filling in for Tim. I am tonight. We do not want to neglect, though, Tim's bankroll plays. It was a rough week last week for young Timothy. Minus $830. It was a rough week for a lot of us last week, if we're being honest. So time to make some of that up. Utah State, this was bet from plus 4.5 to plus 6. So he's grabbing the Aggies at a good number against the Aztecs, 110 to 100. All right. Cincy, we discussed that earlier. A play we were both behind, as is Jared Smith, our last guest. Cincy minus 10 against Houston. Up in the ante. 275 to win 250 on Cincy minus 10. A little flyer on Iowa first half, +6.5 against Michigan, +275 to win 250. So another a hearty bet there. How about that? Kent State Pitt. A little money line parlay for tomorrow that pays +164. Small little bet there to win almost 200. Kent State taking on Northern Illinois. They are -3.5 in that game in the MAC championship game. And then you got Pitt in the ACC title game taking on Wake Forest. They are also laying 3.5. So a couple of -3.5 point favorites taking them on the money line. NFL, oh boy, look at you two in lockstep. Jaguars +13 at the Rams, standard 110 to 100. And then the Buffalo Bills, Monday Night Football, taking the home favorite, -2.5 over the Patriots. That's he's throwing a lot out there, Sean. How much is he going to win this week or lose?
Let's see. I like the Cincy bet. I think he got too cute with the Iowa bet. Just took him 11 for the game. That Kent State, Northern Illinois, I'm not betting against Northern Illinois. Like, they found a way, mm-hmm. you know, when their quarterback's been there, he'll be there for this game to win close games. So, I side with them in that one. I like the Jags game. I do not like the Bills-Patriots. I would take the Patriots there, yeah. Patriots are a better team.
Patriots are a better team
at this point in the season? Yeah, I think they're going to win outright.
You think they will?
Yeah.
Did that make your bankroll play?
It did not.
You got your bankroll plays.
So I have opinions and I have things that I bet on.
Yeah, you're hidden. Yeah. Oh.
See, every opinion doesn't need money behind it.
That, you know what? That is a great piece of advice for the new sports bettors
right.
out there.
And for real, like if you're back and forth, just don't bet it. Just watch it and then gain information. And then next time you get in that situation, maybe there's something that you saw that makes you feel stronger about one side or the other. So, you know, a lot of times there are games I just don't know. I don't know, so I won't touch them.
Well, and that's why I really enjoy just the mental process of being in the different contests.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in a season-long football contest, I mean, you're trying to find five games. You know your money is invested season-long. You don't have the same pressure to, like, come up with, all right, I got to have money on five or six games. I mean, right. You might want to, but there have been a number of weeks I've found myself this year where I've got, like, I'll have maybe one teaser, or I've got, like, one or two plays. And I'm so locked into the contest because I'm like, all right, come on. This is the week we're going 5-0.
Right.
Done all this. I don't even have money on the specific games. I'm just like, come on. Get me home on the five. And most of the time, you're disappointed because the contests are hard as hell.
And the way that I wager is, you know, I have my bankroll. I know what I'm willing to risk.
Yeah.
And if I feel really strongly about one thing, I've done it before on this bankroll, then I'll just bet one game. And if I'm right, then I'm all the way right. A lot of times, that's a dog on the money line. You know, that I think, you know, has a great shot, you know, and I'll take swings at stuff. But, like, me and Tim are slightly different. He likes to bet a lot of things. And I kind of try and hone in. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do it.
That's
it's just what you're comfortable with. And me and him discuss that all the time. So, you know, I don't want to have to track 20 bets.
That's you're a simple man.
Yeah.
Before we get to yours, I have one play already in pocket. Now it involved the Thursday night game. I money line parlay Dallas. So in a head to head contest I'm in, we're using the Westgate lines.
Okay.
Dallas was only 4.5. So that was a contest play for me.
Okay.
However, in the Circa Millions, it was 6.5. So that was not in consideration for me in the contest there. But I did money line parlay Dallas with the LA Rams just to win the game. And that was about -166, I want to say. So smaller bet. I'm usually not going to make a big bet when I'm laying that much juice. But, again, just a little bankroll builder to start the week. Felt like Dallas was the leg I'd have to sweat. You and Tim clearly think that the Jaguars might. Look, I've watched the Jaguars enough to think, like, whatever, 13's a big number. Anything could happen in a line like that, but they're not going to LA.
The Rams are most likely going to win, but I'm not a Matt Stafford fan. I don't trust him.
I'm aware. I mean, Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence on the road. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, that's the one.
Like I said on Jacksonville Radio today, that they should tank. I told them the only way to get elite talent there is through the draft. Because it's be very hard for a high-profile free agent to say, I want to go and be a part of a rebuild unless you completely overpay him. Because you're going to have options to go to competitive organizations and not just get paid, but win. So, you know, when you're at a place like Jacksonville, kind of off the beaten path, you have to accumulate elite players through the draft.
We'll see if they do that. Is Urban there next year?
Oh, absolutely.
Now that we've seen some of these big
absolutely.
Jobs, now that they've been filled,
the hard
that
thing
seems
about coaching
like
in college is the recruiting piece. And that's why you see a lot of guys, listen, if I'm going to do this and I'm not be with my family, be chasing 16, 17-year-olds around, I got to get compensated nicely. And that's what's happening.
Not everybody.
And then
that
guys like Matt Rule and Urban Meyer that get NFL jobs, they're staying now.
Because,
you know, even though it's a lot more parity, it's a lot more hard to win, it's a lot less stressful in a lot of areas.
You crazy to think that, I mean, we're talking obviously back in week four, you wouldn't have thought, all right, Urban probably not staying. But, I mean, all the big jobs have basically been filled now. So that remains to be seen. How about your bankroll plays? So you're gonna go trust old Urban
on
the road.
And just watch this. But that's actually not in my bankroll. But here's what I love.
Okay.
Football's a game played on emotion. Michigan, their entire season was beating Ohio State. When you watch that game, they were like some crazed dogs. Like the emotional pitch that they played with was, I mean, a beautiful thing to watch as a coach. The difficulty in getting back to that pitch the following week, even though this is the Big Ten championship, it's almost impossible to play at that level. So I don't think Iowa's good enough on offense to actually win, but I do think they're good enough on defense to keep this game close. I like Iowa plus the 11. I bet 330 to win 300. The U of L game, I just found out that Billy Napier is not going to coach Louisiana Lafayette tomorrow in the championship game for, what is it, Sun Belt Conference?
That is the Sun Belt.
But it's still a home game. It's still an opportunity for this group of seniors at Lafayette to win a championship, to go out on top. They beat App State earlier in the year convincingly. I thought Napier would be there, but I'm not actually going to change this bet because I still believe it's the right side to be on. I like Lafayette to win this game outright. I think they're getting 2.5,
yes,
3 points.
The line has not really moved
right
since that came out, and usually the market will tell you how much of a difference that really makes. So you can actually get 3 now in a number of spots, but the money line price has not really changed. It's as high as plus 125, but you've got them plus 20.
And Lafayette, those players have been dealing with Napier potentially taking a job for 3 years now, so they're kind of a little immune to it. You know, they've desensitized themselves. They've gotten to the point where they know Napier's family. They understand this is a business. I think this is a situation where they're actually happy for their coach, that he finally got the right job because he's turned down a lot over the last 2 years. So I like Lafayette to win outright. My favorite NFL play is Raiders minus 1.5.
Ooh.
I think people are starting to buy into a very average Washington football team. I think Derek Carr will build on his recent success, and I love the Raiders at this price point. I just think they match up well with Washington. So I put 200 to win 182. I have a nice little parlay.
Oh, tell me more.
And I like Cincinnati at home to cover the 10.5. I love San Diego State minus -6. I don't think Utah State should even be on the same field with San Diego State. And then I like Pitt to cover the 3. I just think they're good enough, you know, on defense to get this game to the fourth quarter. And then I trust Kenny Pickett and the offense to win it. And if I'm right, you can turn 270 into 1620. And if you look at last week, that number says plus what?
690.
That's right. So just roll with Big King, baby. Just roll with Big King. I know you guys are watching. You're listening. Don't overthink Sean's bankroll plays. Just play them to the T. It's all I'm asking. And then we'll celebrate on Monday as our pockets are full of greenbacks.
And I will take all the credit for being in Tim's seat.
That's
because
fine.
I'm sitting next to you.
Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
my
not,
good luck charm.
That's what yeah, I'm going.
Good luck charm.
That's what I'm going for. We're going to definitely talk in our next hour as well about that Vegas Washington matchup because there is a couple of big injuries there.
Yeah.
We're gonna need to talk through.
They'll figure it out even if D. Wall is not available.
Well, the thing is, later in the show, we're gonna try to put together a Circa Millions contest card for this week. I will take Tim's spot on that. Hopefully a good luck charm this week. We will continue to talk more college football. A couple other games we've not gotten to. We'll mention those next. Philip Fulmer, legendary Tennessee head coach, is going to join us in studio in about 20 minutes here on the Nightcap. Peace in the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now. When you sign up for our $99 mid-season football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at vsin.com/subscribe. It is the nightcap on a Friday night from downtown Las Vegas. Back alongside former NFL quarterback Sean King. I'm Ben Wilson, filling in for Tim Murray. He'll be back on the show next week. A little update here on the old Puckstradamus play, Sean.
Yeah,
I thought I'd be your good
well
luck charm. And,
yeah. But it's just a small little bit we put on it. We didn't do anything crazy.
Puckstradamus, he's a measured individual.
Yeah.
Comes out at late at night. Throws
normally,
money on
normally
games.
I don't wait till the late games.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah. This I was doing so well in football. I was like, let's test the waters.
2-0, though, in college football tonight.
Yeah.
That's what really matters.
And those are the nice bets.
Again, UTSA, if you're just joining us, a pretty crazy game. They hold off Western Kentucky 49-41 and cover as a three-point home underdog in the Conference USA Championship game. Utah, it has gone final just down the road from us. There is a look again at the final board and how things ended. Actually, 3.5 via VSiN.com. That's Western Kentucky closed at. Down the street from us at Allegiant Stadium, Utah, 38, Oregon, 10. That game stays under the 57.5 or 58-point total. Sean, you got a 2.5 there on the Utes, and that thing was, once again, second meeting between those two teams, a blowout, 38-10. It was 38-3 at the end of the third quarter. And so that makes up for the hockey. Sean talking Edmonton Oilers, Seattle Kraken. That's 4-2 Seattle, end of the second, and Calgary up 3-2 on your other play, Anaheim, end of the second period. There, but let us talk about some of the other big college football matchups tomorrow. Haven't really discussed the, it was not in either Tim's nor yours bankroll plays, nor was it a Jared Smith play who we had on earlier on the show to talk all things college football and NFL, but Baylor, Oklahoma State, down in Jerry World, this is an interesting tinker of the line move in this where you saw Oklahoma State early money showing up. It was 6.5 Oklahoma State, quickly bet down to 5.5. Although it has been bet back up, and there is the question of the status of Jerry Bohannon, questionable with a hamstring injury. We saw Baylor barely get by rival Texas Tech, who has been way down this year, 1-3 last week, without Wilson at quarterback. Right now, in most shops you see on your screen, it is Oklahoma State laying 6 in the neutral site game. There are some 6.5s out there, 45, anywhere from 45 to 46 on the total. How do you try to handicap a game where there is so much uncertainty at such an important position, especially on the Baylor perspective?
Yeah, I didn't have a good feel for this game. You know, we talked earlier about, like, sometimes if I can't figure a game out, I'll just watch. And, I mean, Oklahoma State beat Baylor earlier in the year, 24-14. You know, I would tend to lean towards Baylor in the points simply because, again, football's a game that's played on emotion. So Oklahoma State has been the little brother to Oklahoma for years. What's the game called between Oklahoma?
Bedlam.
Bedlam.
Bedlam. Yeah. And that was a Super Bowl game for Oklahoma State.
As a home game for Oklahoma State. Crazy environment. Back and forth game that they fell behind. Found a way to come back. Had to make a last stand. I mean, they finally had one-upped Big Bro. And then as fate would have it, Lincoln Riley decides to leave and go to USC. So instead of people talking about Oklahoma State, they're still talking about Oklahoma. So just emotionally, it's hard for me to get a good grasp on where they are. I don't love Spencer Sanders, the quarterback, throwing the football. You know, Baylor has gotten a lot better on defense, but then Baylor, starting quarterback, didn't play Texas Tech. Game time decision, I'm assuming, for tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Because of some of those unknowns, I kind of probably would leave this game alone. I'll tell you what's crazy. This is Oklahoma State's first Big 12 championship game.
Just like it's Michigan's first Big 10 championship game.
Because up until 2011, the Big 12 didn't play a championship game.
Right.
Baylor actually was in the game under Matt Rhule in 2019. They lost to Oklahoma. So some of those players will still be on that team. They'll have that experience to fall back on. You know, basically, I said all that to say this. I don't have a good feel one way or another. I'm actually rooting for Baylor to win the game because I want Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame to potentially get in the college football playoff. How about the irony in this? Chip Kelly left because he didn't think you could get the talent he needed at Notre Dame to win a national championship. He leaves. Freeman and the crew get in and win it.
For Brian Kelly's newfound Louisiana accent, no less.
By the way, I have a $100 bet at 25-1 on Notre Dame to win the national championship.
So you are
30 to 1. I actually got 30 to 1.
You are rooting for Baylor tomorrow.
Yes. So,
well, there is some thought that Is there any scenario that Baylor, if they win, let's say one of the, I mean, we talk about the chalk going down. Yeah. Let's say multiple chalk goes down.
Yeah, they could get in. Michigan loses, Bama loses, Cincy loses. Then Baylor, if they beat Oklahoma State, they're probably even. We don't want to see that.
Even if two, I mean, let's just say if Alabama loses to a Georgia like we think, let's say if Michigan or even one of those two lose, then you probably see Notre Dame. They would get in, and then the question becomes: if Baylor beats Oklahoma State, would the committee take two-loss Alabama or two-loss Baylor? Here's the interesting question.
To me, the interesting scenario is this: Alabama beats Georgia, Michigan beats Iowa, Cincinnati beats Houston, Oklahoma State thumps Baylor.
Georgia's still got to be in.
No, Georgia's in.
Georgia's in, obviously.
Does Oklahoma State, as the Big 12 champion, jump Cincy?
Scary thought.
Right.
For Cincinnati back.
So,
and Mike Palmer.
I coached earlier in the American Athletic. I'm pulling for Cincy. Yep. So all signs point for me riding with Baylor, but I just don't know if Baylor's quite good enough on offense against what is a really, really great defense at Oklahoma State.
And with those questions at quarterback,
right?
And let's keep in mind, Oklahoma State defensively, after they lost at Iowa State, their next four games, they gave up a combined 13 points in those four games. And they
salty.
Held, and they held obviously a dynamic Oklahoma offense to 33 points last week in that win in Bedlam. So we'll see. We'll see where that. I'm very interested to see where the line goes tomorrow morning. That is an early kick, by the way, the noon Eastern kick. We also have the Mountain West Conference title game. You certainly, in your bankroll plays, you like San Diego State.
Love.
You love the Aztecs. So this is just a class thing. You know, I mean, we've seen Utah State struggle in some games this year, but so you think the defense here, are you surprised that the total is as high as it is, 49.5, with how solid of a defensive team San Diego State has been all year?
In a neutral site game. Early kick.
What is in Carson, I believe.
Right. Early kick.
That's where, I mean, sadly,
it's a home game, but it's not.
It's like, it is, but it isn't. Right.
If it's not on your home campus, I don't consider it. Or in your home stadium,
San Diego State hasn't played a home game.
Right, all year. Yeah, so I don't know why they didn't put this game in Vegas. That would have been much better for both fan bases. But
I agree with you.
I think Tim circled in the wrong thing.
I
don't think he meant to send Utah State plus the 6.
He gave Aaron, he just did the rotation number. He went 323. He meant to do 324.
Matter of fact, Aaron texted him, I think he sent you the wrong thing for his bankroll. There's no way that he thinks Utah State is staying in this game versus San Diego State.
Maybe he just said state.
Yeah.
Just give me state. And he was trying to figure out the right.
You know what? He might have had Utah State, like we did like this, who we like to win the conference thing about week 2 or 3. That might have been his selection. He might be emotional.
Aaron, that emotional weight into it?
Yeah.
It reminds me of when my dad was out here for March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
First night, day of the tournament. Obviously, you're excited. It's Thursday morning. Goes up to make all his bets at the window. Comes back. Shows me his tickets. And I was like, Dad, did you mean to bet first half on all these games? And he was like, oh, crap. Did not mean to. But guess, he made like 7 bets. He would have gone like 2-5. Of course, he goes, I think 6-1. All first half bets. I'm like, welcome to Vegas.
Right.
I make fun of it.
That's how they hook you.
That was a great time to be alive.
I mean, what's your take on the game? Baylor, Oklahoma State. You have a strong opinion one way or the other there?
If you made me bet the game, and we'll see if this gets to 7. If it gets to 7, I'd actually take Baylor. I think, and we've seen now the fact that Baylor
is going up to 6.5.
It is going up to 6.5. Behind us, circuit 6.5.
It opened at what, 5, 5.5?
Yes, went up to 6.5 immediately, mm-hmm. got some respected buyback in the market. And again, Chris Andrews, South Point Sports Director, he has his weekly column on where all the action's going, college and NFL games. But to me, these teams are fairly evenly matched. I get that the quarterback is a concern, but Baylor did just play a game without its quarterback. I've been so unimpressed with Oklahoma State's offense. And it's such a jarring thing to see a Mike Gundy-led offense with really no air raid element to them. And Spencer Sanders, his numbers have been fine this year. 16 touchdowns to 8 picks, just over 2,000 yards. But we're talking about the Cowboys. You're talking about a team that historically has put up huge numbers.
And it's sad because I like Jalen Warren, the running back.
And he's
Oklahoma
been outstanding.
State. I don't trust Spencer if they have to throw the ball in key situations. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope the young man has the game of his life. But we're talking about my pockets here. We're not talking about political correctness. Like, listen, I've watched
like
the games. Yeah, he's not trustworthy.
Feels
in my
like a
opinion.
Game because Oklahoma State's had some charmed results this year. The game in Boise State probably should have lost. They win that game by 1. Kind of feels like a game where the Cowboys win by 3.
Yeah.
And they don't cover. That But again, with the quarterback concerns, I'm going to wait. Let's see if Bohannon gets ruled out officially. You might see this go up to 7, 7.5. That would probably be a play for me.
Still can't believe Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State. I just make no sense.
There's a lot that doesn't make much sense. That's hour number two. Wrap it up. When we come back, we'll talk some more college football with the legend himself, Philip Fulmer, longtime Tennessee football head coach, going to join us in studio on the other side. Hour number three of the Nightcap, right after this here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.